Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Lifeway Church. Good to see you all today. So my name is Costanza Venegas. I'm one of the directors here with Lifeway, and I'm so excited to see you here today. And we have online listeners, so let's go ahead and give it up for our folks listening online. Next, it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. And find a dad next to you and say happy Father's Day this morning. So we brought to the stage some amazing people with us, to my right and to my left, who love Jesus and have actually a message prepared just for you today on Father's Day. And so great people from different backgrounds with us. And what we're going to do today is called Six in Six. Everybody say that. Yeah, so six and six, what that means is that we have six amazing people to my right and to my left who have just 6 minutes to share a message just for you. And so there are moments in six and six when anything can happen. In fact, I know that God was going to spark something on the inside of you and maybe even something that you might not even known was there. And so I give you permission today to preach with them. And so what I mean by that is respond with them, preach with them, get excited for them, because sometimes it's tough in front of everybody. Sometimes it can be intimidating and nerve-wracking. My part is easier. I'm just the opening guy. I don't have 6 minutes. I only have 2 minutes. And so act like you're the one up here preaching with them and cheer them on, because you are definitely in for a treat today. And so they're going to be amazing, and everybody made sure that they're looking their best. You all look great. And so let's give it up for our speakers today. And so I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. We have the talented Tom Kennedy. Go ahead and wave, Tom. We have lovely Liana Veer. We have happy Jesus Contreras. We have strong Scott McLean. Phenomenal Phil Landry. And my favorite, because she's my wife and the most beautiful here, we saved the best for last. For this reason, the beautiful, talkative Tiffany Venegas. Don't worry, I checked with her first, and so there won't be any fights on the way home for that adjective here. And so what's going to happen is all of these preachers are going to have just 6 minutes, no more than 6 minutes. So friends, 6 minutes is done. The lights will go off, the bell will ring, it'll be awkward, so make sure you stop and give it to the mic to the next person. And so lastly, we're ready for something from the Lord. So join with me. I want you to encourage them like you would want somebody to encourage you, and sow into them. Give them the biggest amens of your life. And so let's hear from our first speaker for our first ever Six in Six.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tom Kennedy. I'm just going to be talking a bit about spiritual leadership and how you can equip yourself and your family to be prepared for everything that life throws your way. So this leadership is so important for you and your family. You are going to be attacked in so many ways in your life, whether it be through disappointments from family and friends, through accidents, physical. There are so many ways that the devil can impact you in your life, and you need to be able to combat that in your spiritual life. So in Ephesians 6:12, Paul wrote to the Romans, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So we're not talking about just physical. We're talking about eternal salvation. That's why this leadership is so important. So who can we look to be an example of that servant leadership or that spiritual leadership? And I don't think there's a better example than Jesus Christ. When he was on earth, he gave in so many ways to the people he interacted with. Not only did he wash the feet of the poor or heal lepers or just spend time with sinners who people would just ignore, he actually died for our salvation. And that is absolutely awesome. That is the true ultimate sacrifice. When I was growing up, my dad wasn't the most outwardly faithful person. He was a wonderful, awesome dad. He was very kind and generous with his time, but he wasn't outwardly faithful. I didn't see him praying on a regular basis. I didn't see him sharing the word with anyone. He never really explained the why behind what he was doing. And the only time I actually ever heard him quote scripture was actually when we were disagreeing with him or being a little bit stubborn. The only time I ever heard him quote it was, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That was the limit of what he would say. My mom would always say the opposite because he was pretty antagonistic. She would say, fathers, do not exasperate your children. He didn't like that part of the scripture. But I think one of the repercussions of this was that, you know, my brother left the faith at a young age. I actually left the Christianity for a while as well. I suffered with depression and anxiety. My sister actually went the other extreme. She actually used her faith as a shield and a refuge from all of the personal family issues that we had. And so, you know, our family wasn't headed in a great direction. But my dad saw this, and actually, I think it was at a retreat, he took it upon himself, and he was encouraged and led to become the spiritual leader of our household. So not only was he serving with his time, he was starting to explain why he was doing that. He was giving of his time and his talent and explaining to us that it was so important to sow back into our community and into our friends and family. Not only that, but he also started doing daily devotionals. If you aren't familiar with what that is, it's just a structured way of each day going through and praying and connecting with God. And so, you know, through these examples, he was actually starting to lead our family spiritually. After he started doing this, our family started to change in a lot of positive ways. It took my brother a while, but after probably 4 or 5 years, he actually started coming back to the faith. And now today, he's actually going to church almost every single Sunday. And he's being the spiritual leader of his family. He has 3 young boys and a wife now, and he's leading them as well. My sister has a much more healthy relationship with God, and I am not suffering from depression or anxiety anymore. So what tools can you use to help your family? What can you equip yourself with? The previous scripture I quoted was from Ephesians 6:12, but Ephesians 6:11 through 18 is an awesome scripture. It has so much meat to it, and I think it would probably take a whole day to just unpack it for the first time. But in it, it gives you so many ways that you can do this. So I just want to highlight a couple of them. The first is to armor yourself with the belt of truth. So this is extremely important. If you are not telling the truth to your family or to your coworkers or to whoever, and you're lying on a consistent basis, what example do you think you're setting for your children? Do you think they're gonna tell you the truth when it comes to something important, like drinking alcohol or doing drugs or just being immoral? The next one I wanted to call out is the breastplate of righteousness. So not only being truthful, but being righteous. So you need to be calling out what you see is wrong in the world, what God sees is wrong in our world. And you need to be doing that on a consistent basis so that your kids aren't just accepting what the world is teaching them. There are so many examples for them on television, through their friends. I mean, there are so many examples of what they shouldn't be, but you need to call out and say what they should be. The last one that I wanted to talk about very briefly was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This is one of the last things that's in this scripture, and I think it's highlighted. It's one of the few that actually has like a multi-part of the sentence, and it's so important because they're becoming a spiritual leader and growing in your spiritual journey is not just an overnight thing. This happens over time, and it's something that without the Bible, you can't do that. So just use the word.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. Thought I'd throw that in there. So I wanted to talk about fathering interrupted. So I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer, I promise. But for me, as a child, I was born to really young parents. And like a lot of young love, it really wasn't love at all. It was pretty foolish. And it ended. And I lived with my mom. And I remember sitting in childcare, watching out the window, waiting for the day that Dad was picking me up. And I remember the window, and I remember sitting there just waiting, and he never came. My uncle would come, or my mom would come. And I remember as a child being confused and hurt even, why would my dad forget me? Why don't I matter? But he was a father uninterrupted. He was about his own business. He was about his own desire, his own plans, his own ways. And he wouldn't be interrupted for anyone, not even his four-year-old daughter. But I'm here, and as any good parent, right, we have children, whenever we're in the middle of something, they're tagging on us, wondering, Mom, Dad, you know, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, and something along the lines of, I'm busy came out, right? Am I the only one? No, all right, good. Because we're busy, we're always busy. And there's situations and people in our lives that always come up and cause a ruffle in life. They cause interruption. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I've also probably dismissed the Holy Spirit's nudgings occasionally. Feels uncomfortable, God. It's not my plan, God. I don't know if I can do what you're asking me to, God. And so I don't get interrupted. And I don't want to live like that. I want to live a life that's interruptible. And I want people to come before all of my plans. So God, our Father, in all of his strength and majesty, stops and is interrupted by our daily pleadings. He's a Father interrupted. So what would it look like if our lives were interrupted? When we're guided by the Holy Spirit, we're not allowing our plans to get in the way. They're waysided for his plan. We're communicating, God, yes, with you. I mean, we're going to fail, right? We're going to look silly sometimes and feel uncomfortable, but that's how he grows us. He grows us in uncomfortable situations. In Luke chapter 8, when the woman pressed in and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus stopped. In Matthew chapter 19, when he spoke, "Let the children come to me," Jesus stopped. In Luke chapter 18, he stopped to heal the blind. Jesus stopped what he was doing constantly. And what happened in those interruptions? Miracles. Miracles happened in the interruption. Now, Jesus allowed for interruption because people are worth investment. You're worth the investment. And we can't be investing in others from afar. God's not a God from afar. He's closer than a brother. He's right by our side. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never forgets. He doesn't forget about you. He's right there remembering, oh yeah, I see her by that window waiting. I see her. You know, Jesus didn't invest in pretty people. He invested in adulterers, prostitutes, demon-possessed, and lepers. That's pretty ugly. So can you just take a minute, close your eyes, and imagine yourself at your very worst? Like, I'm ugly. I am ugly, I'm messy, and I know what I look like. I've been there. But then take a moment when you felt like someone stopped and invested in you. When you felt valued, when someone saw you the way Jesus sees you. So, I know maybe God put somebody on your heart right now. Like, who needs some investing? Who needs their eyes open to the way that Jesus sees them? Because just like that five-year-old waiting for her dad, they're worth your interruption. In Psalm 68:5, it says, God is a father to the fatherless. And you know what? I wonder Like, how is that possible, God? How can you be my father? Who's going to take me to that, you know, father-daughter dance? You. We're God's hands and feet. We're how God shows that we're the father to the fatherless. So let's be risky. Get risky, people. People are worth the investment. They're worth the interruption. Let's risk it all and be interrupted for those that are important. Let's risk it all because all around us, people are broken. They're broken, and we're just wading on through. So, Lord, help us. Let's be risky, let's invest, and let's be amazing.
My topic is going to be on the Father's love. The book of Luke, chapter 15, 11 through 14, says like this, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Today, we celebrate Father's Day, which is a blessing that God has given to many of us. Some have been fathers for some time. Others have been fathers for a longer time. And others are going to be fathers pretty soon, one day. Isn't that amazing and awesome? Yes, it is. And so what a wonderful day it is today. A perfect time to talk about love. The story that we just read is very unique in a way. It doesn't give us the name of the father or the sons. It only gives us the details of the story. And it all starts by letting us know that life was going great in this picture, just like any other family. So let's get into it. Protection, provision, and love were the very essentials the sons in this parable had while they were living under the father's roof. Suddenly, things begin to happen. The time came when the younger son decided to have a change of heart, a different opinion of seeing things the way they were. With that mindset, he went to his father asking for the portion of the inheritance. He was actually saying, I don't need your protection. I don't need your provision. Practically, I don't need your love. What in the world was going through his mind? After having everything at home, he made a decision to leave. After a certain time, his money begins to disappear, spending it in all kinds of useless things. As a result, his life starts taking another direction. He began to suffer like never before. He was becoming a total mess, day after day, night after night. It seemed like everyone had it better than him. This sounds too familiar. Could it be because there has been times and seasons in our own lives when we think we know it all? We begin to take matters in our own hands. We think we don't need the help of anyone but ourselves. Soon we start to think that we have the world in our hands. Going back to the story, after hitting rock bottom and having no one by his side, he comes to his senses. Tired of his condition, the younger son opened his heart again. With all the shame in the world and the struggle of accepting his situation, he began to make his way back to his father's house, one step at a time. And this is when I get a knot in my throat, that his father received him with open arms and full of compassion and joy. He couldn't even wait for him to come to him, but he ran and met him halfway. The day that his father was waiting for so long had finally come at last. This was a miracle. Indeed. I wonder why Jesus tells this story and didn't put a name to the characters, as if he left it open for us to fill the blank. Can you relate? But I know this, that the Bible says that we all went the wrong way in our sins, just like the younger son went far away from God, but he doesn't fight with us, much like the father in this parable. He lets us be. He lets us make our own decisions. I believe that some of us find ourselves like the younger son, away from the father's house. We carry the shame in our lives, fear in our hearts, and heavy weight on our shoulders. And for that, we just can't find our way back. We can't pass our circumstances. And just like this parable, one day our father came down to earth to meet our needs. Knowing we couldn't save ourselves, he had compassion over us, running toward our desperate condition. And he did it in a way that only a good father could have done it, by leaving his place and coming to our aid. On that cross, more than 2,000 years ago, with his last breath, he said, "It is finished." Yeah. Not only he gave us a portion of his inheritance, but he gave us his whole entire life. This is the Father's love.
Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers and fellow fathers. You know, the Word of God says to give honor to whom honor is due. And at this time, I'd like to thank my father for being the father that he was. He taught me about family. He taught me about my morals. He taught me about integrity. He taught me about working hard. And he also taught me that it's never too late to do the right thing. When he was 80 years old, he was baptized in Jesus' name. God bless you. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And so today I say to my dad in heaven, thank you for all you did for me. And so I'd like to spend the rest of my time talking to fathers. Unfortunately, ladies, you'll have to listen in. You know, a father and a child view their time spent together very differently. You know, one day an older man was exploring his attic. And as he was exploring it, he was dusting off albums, and he was seeing different things up in a box in the attic. And all of a sudden, there appeared a journal, this old journal of his grown-up son's childhood journal that the child had written. And, you know, he was thinking, man, he goes, I didn't even know my child did this. And he dusted it off, and he was looking at it, and he was thinking, you know, why did my wife even save this old junk? But then he realized, you know what? He started reading through some of the entries, and he was just amazed. And his lips would be curved with excitement and unconscious smiles as he read the words of what his son had written years ago about his life. But one of the things that stuck out was how different the son's perspective was than his perspective. And so, you know, the father was thinking, you know, I remember having a business journal that I kept all of my activities in. And so he went downstairs and he grabbed his business journal and he put it right next to his son's journal. And as his father, as the dad was opening up his own business journal, he noticed this really short entry. And it kind of startled him because it was one of the shortest entries in his whole business journal. And what it said was, very simply, wasted the whole day fishing with Jimmy, didn't catch a thing. But with a deep sigh and a shaking hand, he took Jimmy's journal, and he found the boy's entry for the same day, June 4th. And with the large scrolling letters pressed so deeply into that paper, here's what Jimmy had to say. He said, "Went fishing with Dad, best day of my life." Fathers, we need to be present. We need to be with our kids. They don't care what you're doing. They just want to be with you. And when they're with you, that's when you influence them. That's when lives can be changed. You know, being a father is never over. The job gets bigger and bigger. You go from being a father to a father-in-law to a grandfather to a great-grandfather. You know, my daily duties of being a father has gotten smaller since my children are all grown. But you know, my responsibilities of being a father has never been more multiplied than they are right now. I'm the watchman on the tower to watch over and look after my family, to pray a hedge of protection. What's a hedge of protection? Well, in the Word of God, in the beginning of the book of Job, we find that Job has a prayer that he says to the Lord. He said, I'm going to pray for my children every day. I'm going to make sacrifices for them because I don't know if they've sinned and done something against the Lord. And so we read a few verses down that the Lord is having a conversation with Satan. And in this conversation, the Lord says to Satan, isn't this man Job such a wonderful man? And Job, or Satan says to the Lord, well, haven't you put a hedge of protection around him? Haven't you done all these things? Haven't you blessed everything that he's done? And I say to you, that's me. That's what I want to be. I want to pray that hedge of protection around my family. I want to be that person that is always uplifting. We live in a world now that is so loud, that is so troublesome to our children. We need to be louder. And how do we do that? We have to pray for that hedge of protection. We have to pray for God to protect our children, to keep them in, you know, his loving hands, to protect them from people that would rather have something harm them. You know, when I was growing up, I remember a great lady that had taught Sunday school, and her name was Angeline Tamil. And one thing she always taught us is she said, there's only one thing you're taking to heaven, and that's your children. When you put that in perspective, no matter what you do the rest of this day, no matter what you do the rest of your life, there's only one thing that matters. It's getting your family to heaven. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does that mean they won't wander? No, they may wander. But you train them up in the way that they'll go, and God will bless it. And just remember, fathers, we're two generations from being forgotten. Two generations from being forgotten. But one thing that will never be forgotten is your prayers. Your prayers go on and on and on. So God bless you.
Good morning, Lifeway Church. Scott's got this thing set up for somebody who's 8 feet tall. I want to talk to you this morning briefly about one of the key ways to become a better father. So if you're a mother here, you can actually insert your title, and it works for you as well. How many of us believe that we can look to Jesus to find the solution to any problem? How can we, in that context then, look to a person to become a better father who was never a father? But first, before I try to answer those questions, I want to just look into the Old Testament and take a look to see a couple of the different ways that God revealed himself. And first, God revealed himself as creator. In the beginning, God created, so he is our creator. And next, God revealed himself as judge. If you take a look at the lives of the Israelites as they made their way through the Old Testament, God would judge them as they misbehaved. They would go into captivity, and they would cry out, and then God would rescue them. And it happened over and over and over again. But that was the old covenant. But even so, I caution you to be careful because God could still work that way today. So now we need to take a look at the New Testament to get a clear revelation of who God truly is. And in doing so, we'll study the life of Jesus. However, in the New Covenant, Jesus revealed God as a father. And we'll take a look at a few scripture references that indicate what type of relationship Jesus had with the Father. And first we'll start with John 5:19 says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And then John 5:28-29, I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. And the last one, John 10:30, the Father and I are one. So what does this have to do with becoming a better father? And if you don't remember anything else that I say this morning, remember this one thing. In order to become a better father, we must first become a better son. In other words, until we have a right relationship with God the Father as a son, we will never truly fulfill the call of God on our lives as a father. So what role are you playing in your children's lives? The role of creator? How many of us, for me, it was my mom growing up, would say to you, son, I brought you into this world. I can take you right out. Amen. It may be a southern thing. I don't know. But our role should be one that creates environments and opportunities that really can stir up and cultivate the gifts that God has placed in our children. Are you playing the judge? With two young children, this is the role that I most often play. And I remember just recently, Hank and Oscar were taking a bath, and I forget the context of exactly what was going on, but I had corrected him several hundred times to no avail. And so I lost it. I grabbed him by the arm. I pulled him up out of the tub. I grabbed the spanker. We have a wooden spoon always nearby, and Hank named it the spanker. I grabbed the spanker, and I gave him three good licks on his wet behind. And the next thing I know, Grace rushes into the bathroom to rescue him. And in our house, we have the law, and we have Grace, which is sitting right there about four rows back. And I felt terrible about that. So, I mean, how many of us know that it's not a good idea to discipline our kids in anger? But playing the role of judge is necessary, but we must also have something to offset that justice. And if you read through the life of Jesus, he often went off to a solitude place to pray, and he spent quality time with the Father. And one of the first things God ever spoke to me was, I love to spend time with you. And playing, I want you to know that there is nothing that compares to spending quality time with your children. And as a father, it is the most important way you can influence your child's life. And through me, I spend lots of quality time with my kids, and that's the way that I offset the discipline. The love and the time that I spend with them overshadows the way that I discipline them. So our approach as fathers in our children's lives should always be from a place of sonship. We should always be asking God, what am I supposed to see in this situation? God, what are you saying? What do you want to say through me? What are you doing, God, so I can model that for my children? In order to become a better father, we must first become a better son. Until we have a right relationship with God the Father as a son, we will never truly fulfill the call that God has on our lives as a father.
Thank you. I'm so excited about these next 60 minutes. I figured I'd add a zero and no big deal. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Although I'm like, please don't start it yet. First of all, I'm super excited to be here. My dad is here today, and that makes me so happy. Wave your hand, Dad. And actually, my dad was a huge inspiration for what I wanted to share with you today, because I have been incredibly blessed to have been given, I believe, the best dad in the entire world. And I'm often, as I think about these things or spend time thinking about Father's Day, I often ask God, why did you bless me with such a wonderful example of a father, an earthly father? So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about the words of a father. How many of you as a child remember either hearing or saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Like, what a big fat lie, right? Like, why do we teach children to lie right away? No, I in all honesty, I was thinking about that, and there's a quote that says, to speak of mere words is to speak of mere dynamite. I want you to let that sink in for a second. And in the Bible, it says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. we know that sticks and stones can break our bones, but words can really hurt us, or words can really bring life to us. And so I want to talk to you about the life that can come from the words of a father. So I was reflecting a little bit, and I started to study in the Word, and I wanted to look for, like, where were some examples of fathers speaking to sons? And I thought about the example that I believe that God gave to us as he spoke when Jesus was baptized and then at the Transfiguration. So I want you to listen to what it says in Matthew 3:13. This is right after Jesus asks John to baptize him, and John says, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Listen to this. It says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then we jump a little further into Matthew 17 after the Transfiguration. And it says that just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And so I looked at these scriptures, and I was like, wow. So in Matthew 3, God says, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then again later, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And this stood out to me in such a powerful way because I thought, wow, I really believe God is giving us an example of the power in the words of a father over a child. I mean, we know that Jesus is God, but the example that he was giving here, he made sure to give not only like affirmation, but also approval. He said, this is my son I love. And then in Matthew 17, he says, listen to him. He even gives him the stamp of approval to say, look, I approve of him. You need to follow him. And I thought, what a powerful example. There's a verse or a story that I read that I thought was so powerful. It's about the great British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And it tells of a time when he was 10 years old and a traveling preacher came and stayed with them for a little bit. And for days, this preacher would come in and pray over 10-year-old Charles and pray that he would live to serve God and to love God. And then one morning the pastor came and he gathered the family together and he took the 10-year-old Charles at the time and he prophesied this over him and he said, this child will one day preach the gospel and he will preach it to great multitudes. I am persuaded that he will preach it in the chapel of Rowland Hill. He called all of those who were present to witness it and then he gave the child a coin and said that he'd give him that coin if he would memorize the hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, His Wonders to Perform. And get this, years later, that prophecy was fulfilled. And Spurgeon, the preacher, commented and he said, did the words of Mr. Neal help to bring about their own fulfillment? He says, I think so. I believed them and I looked forward to the time that I should preach the word. And he goes on to say that at that time, he wasn't even converted yet. But the words spurred him on so much and he literally lived out that prophecy. And so I tell you that because I believe, even though that wasn't his father, you may not necessarily be a biological father, but we serve in a fatherly role, maybe someone we mentor, or maybe a biological father. But the words that we speak over those that are entrusted to us are so powerful. So I got to thinking about some of the words that my father spoke over me and our family. And I'm telling you, it was so easy to think of because he gave us so many words of approval and affirmation. These are some of the things that literally in 30 seconds pretty much came to my mind. He would say, Tiff, you are so special to the Lord. Tiff, you are anointed by God. Tiff, God, you are really special to him. He hears your prayers. I really believed that I had a special line to God because my dad spoke that into my life all the time. He said, Tiff, we are so thankful that God gave us a daughter like you. And then I remember he would say over and over again, it is so interesting to me, Tiff, how I believe how God is going to use you. And as a child and even as an adult, those words were engraved in my mind. And because of that, I really believe that I was able to have a deeper connection with God because of the example that my earthly father used in the words he spoke over me. And so I want to encourage you as fathers to affirm and to approve your children, even in moments I didn't always live up to those things that he spoke over me. So even when they're not, continue to speak life into your children. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Come on, let's give them all a big hand. This is amazing. If you were at all like me, there were times that I was laughing and times I was holding back tears. And I thank you in all of your powerful ways. Thank you so much for sharing some great words. I know that for a lot of people, Father's a great day, but there are some here that Father's Day is a difficult day. Some of you carry deep wounds from your physical father, and because of that, it influences your relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's hard to think of a good heavenly father because the only example you've ever had has not been a good one. But I want you to know before you walk out of these doors today that we have a loving father who's perfect in every way. And so no matter what may have happened, maybe some of the horrible things that might have been spoken over you, maybe that was your experience, no matter what's happened or what you've gone through in your life, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here today, and he's here to take away every pain, every wound, every heartache. And I can think of no better day than Father's Day to make that choice and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm ready to give my life to you. I've looked for approval. I was always hoping that my dad would come around, or I was always hoping my mom would come around. I was always hoping that I'd get that validation from someone, and I've looked and I've looked and I've looked and I've looked. Can I tell you what you're looking for? Can never be found in an imperfect father or an imperfect mother. Even the best father in the world is imperfect. And so what you're looking for, that emptiness that you're looking to be filled, can only come from Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, we serve a great heavenly Father, and he's here. And I think that there's somebody here today that today would be a great day to say, you know what, Jesus, I'm tired of walking my own way. I'm tired of going my own direction. I'm tired of trying to find happiness in all of these relationships only to be let down over and over again. So God, I'm just ready to turn to you. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to give my life, to give my heart. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're ready to make that step to Jesus, if you're ready to make that commitment to follow him, I'd like you just to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here? Thank you. I see a hand here, another one here. Thank you on the left. Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hand back there. Thank you. I see your hand. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, you see every hand. Lord, you know every situation. And today, Lord, we commit to follow you. Lord, we decide today to repent and move our own direction and move towards you. Lord, today I'm asking you, take my heart. Lord, all the things that I've tried to hold on to, all of the pieces that I've tried, all of the relationships that I pursued trying to fill this void, Lord, I walk away from all of that and I come to you. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that the warm embrace of a heavenly Father would just wrap your arms around those who feel broken and are hurting today. Lord, I pray for every father and every mother that's in this room. Lord God, your word says that we are to need to forget the things that are behind. None of us can change anything that's happened in the past. But from this moment forward, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would be the fathers and the mothers that you've called us to be. Lord, that we would speak words of life, that we would speak words of affirmation, that we would speak words of approval, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, Lord, that it would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord Jesus, for that person who's sitting here today that carries the wound of an earthly father that's let them down, Lord, I pray in this moment, right now, that you'd wash anger, fear, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Lord God, let those things be washed away. Lord God, because we can only serve you and be the men and women you called us to be if we're whole. And so, Lord, right now, we give it to you. And Lord God, in its place, Lord God, I just pray that you'd swoop in with arms of love and mercy. And that you'd love as only you can love. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.